Right, application item number four, planning application. First application, which is number 19/00815/FUL, White House, Kingston Road, TW15 5SE. The application seeks to provide a 31-bed homeless hostel for single people on the site of the former White House adjacent to the council depot on Kingston Road. The building will be managed by Selborne Borough Council by the Salvation Army. The proposed hostel use is sui generis use, which means it doesn't fall within a specific use class of the Town and Country Planning Act Use Classes Order 1987 as amended, and specifically is not considered to be a residential use. As such, the Council's policies that apply to residential development are not applicable to this specific development. Mr. Spinks, could you run through the plans for us, please?
Okay, the application, the White House, is outlined in red on the left-hand plan, on the OS plan. The site shows a building, but that building, the former of the White House, has been demolished. To the north and to the east of the site, we have the existing depot, the council depot, and further to the northeast is the newly built fire station. On the southern side, further to the south, there is the aqueduct, and further beyond that, there's an access road in this position here, which leads to the Brett Aggregates Depot and Electricity National Grid in this location further to the east. Just south of this access is a small building which is houses the Beavers, Cubs and Scouts. Ashford Road is positioned in this location here to the west of the site, and there's a small sort of cul-de-sac which leads to the entrance of the depot here. Ashford Road also bears round to the left, and there's a roundabout here which leads off to Kingston Road. On the left-hand side, there are a number of residential properties, including 389 in this location here, just south of the aqueduct. 389 Ashford Road here, 393A, which is the little Dreams Day Nursery, Children's Nursery. And on the to the west of this is the 264 Kingston Road, which is the first property in Kingston Road. Okay, I'm now going to take you through a number of photographs showing the site and the surrounding area. The first one on the slide is the existing White House depot. The application site is positioned in this location here, sort of in front of the trees. This photograph here shows the main entrance into the depot, the existing entrance, with the application site on the right-hand side outside the photograph. The two photographs on the screen now show the application site. The one on the left shows the flank end of the existing depot building. You can see the site is sort of overgrown and since the building was removed. And this shows another view of the site just further to the right of the left-hand photograph. These two photographs are taken from the southern side. So the one on the left-hand side is looking from Ashford Road. This is standing on the edge of Ashford Road, and this is the application site open fencing, and you can see the depot building that I just showed you in the previous photograph in the background. And this photograph shows the aqueduct, which I mentioned in the first slide, which is located on the southern side of the application site. And beyond that is the access road, which I mentioned, leading to the Brett's Queen Mary Reservoir. And on the right-hand side, the building, the Beaver, Cubs and Scout Hut building. This is a view of the properties approaching the site from Ashford Road, going with the site on the right-hand side, the Day Nursery on the left-hand side, and this is the residential properties next door that I mentioned, being on Ashford Road. A wider view street scene, the one at the top. The photograph at the bottom shows that the flank end of 3938 Ashford Road, the nursery, in this location here, with the hedging behind it. And this is approaching the application site, which is beyond this, here on the left-hand side, from the northern side. These are a couple of views along Kingston Road, with the existing dwellings on the south side of Kingston Road and Forbridge Park further to the west. And again, a very similar location, approaching the site, coming up to the roundabout as if you're driving, and the application site is on the right-hand side. The photographs here are two photographs taken from Forbridge Roundabout. The left-hand one is from the B377 leading to Ashford Town, and the right-hand one is the road leading to Staines, M25 and London. This is a further set of photographs approaching the site from the north, with the nursery in the background there, in the and Ashford Road leading off to the left, with Kingston Road to the right. And the last set of photographs referred to are the Kingston Drive Shopping Parade. Here, it's located on the southern side of Kingston Road, further to the west of the application site. So turning back to the plans now, the plan on the left hand side is an outline plan of the site that I've already showed you, and the blue line represents land that is owned by the applicant but is not within the application site. So the site plan on the right hand side shows the outline of the development in relation to the surrounding buildings. So you've got the application site here outlined in red. The hostel building is a building going in this location here, with a cycle store and a bin store here, with a new access created onto Ashford Road on the southern side. And this, to get your context, this is the depot building, and the photographs I showed were taken from here, looking at the end of that elevation there. But this is the detailed site plan. As the chairman mentioned, it's a 27-bedroom and 4-flat hostel in a 4-storey building. The building itself will be positioned in this location here, fronting onto the cul-de-sac on Ashford Road. It's a maximum of 14.6 metres high and has a footprint of just under 350 square metres. The access, this is a more detailed plan of the access, located here, and the drivers will drive in, and there's 9 parking spaces laid out here for the staff. There's a cycle store in this position here, with an energy centre and a substation located on the southern side of the building, and the bin store here with access from either the car park, you can see a door there, or directly from the council depot on the northern side. Just thought it'd be helpful if I can refer to this plan, because a very, very small element of the application site falls within the green belt. The plan on the right hand side shows the depot and the application site, which is the area that I'm highlighting now here. And the left hand plan is there's a very slight overlap between the application site and the green belt. So this is the southern boundary of the application site where the proposed access will go in. And this small area here, 8 square metres, is the area that's referred to in the committee report. Mm-hmm. So these are the two main front and rear elevations. This is the left-hand plan is the front elevation, and the right-hand plan is the rear elevation. It's proposed to be constructed from red brick under dual pitch roof, and I'll show you the side elevations on the next slide with a fibre slate concrete roof. The building will be constructed in red brick, and there's a canopy that's defined here with it's a grey clad material to be used here, and it's also featured along the ground floor here, which will bring the provide a focus to the ground floor and the entrance. The same materials but will be used in this panel in here. So it's continued up there. The large windows here have been slightly recessed. They're all very slightly recessed, and there's each of them, one of them, have got spandrel panels above them, and that's an amendment to the original scheme because it was felt that this would result to in a design improvement by sort of lengthening the appearance of the insets. There's also been a small reduction in the floor to ceiling here, which is lowered the building very slightly. The two end elevations are on the screen now. So this one here on the left-hand side is the southwestern elevation, and that's the elevation that will front the aqueduct. And again, I've mentioned this, the metal spandrel panels, which are positioned on the form part of the windows and the area above that. These areas here will be brick panels set back. The right-hand elevation facing the depot. These panels here are brick panels, so they're not actually opening windows here. And there's also a door entrance there. Okay, I'm now going to take you through the floor plan, so the proposal. The top left-hand slide shows the ground floor plan. Now, I'll sort of walk you through the plans to perhaps clarify it. The main entrance to the building from the front of the site will be in this position here. Okay, and next to that, well, there will be a reception security, and that's 24-hour man security. On the right-hand side in this area here, there's going to be offices for the staff and WC facilities here. This room here will be a learning suite, sort of flexible space. So as you can see that there's a sitting down area there and foldable door, so that's a flexible space. There could be some computers there for the occupants to work on. This is a staff room, an interview room next door, and a laundry room. So we have three units of accommodation for the occupants here. There's two at the front here, one each, divided there in that position there, and then one in this slightly larger one in this position. And those three will occupy a shared kitchen living area there, and you can see there's a separate door there. So that's the ground floor. The first and second floor are identical, so I will walk you through one of the floors because the first floor is the same. So we have two units here at the front of the site. So you come upstairs here and you come onto the landing here and go through the door. There will be three units there, each with their bed and shower room. And then there will be two further units there. And again, there's a shared kitchen living area. And the same again on this side, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 units here and a shared kitchen dining area. And as I said, the same on the second floor. So moving to the top floor, the third floor, there will be four units of accommodation here. So we'll have two here and two here with a shared kitchen living area. and that will be, there will be the door to that, those units there. And going from the landing, turn right. In this position here, there will be 4 one-bedroom flats. So there's one here, 2, 3, 4 flats. And they are to provide independent living opportunities. So the people that live in there will, as far as I understand, will still be receiving support until they're fully independent and to leave the premises. Okay, the plan on the screen now shows the bin store. Just to remind the committee members and the public gallery that that's the location of the bin store on the site plan. So the bin store, this is the layout here. It will contain one 1,100 litre accommodation for general waste and the same size for recycling, and also one 660 litre for general waste, and again the same for recycling. And there'll also be a one 140 litre bin for food waste. Reference is made in the report to the energy centre, the combined heat and power plant, which is positioned on the southern side of the building here next to the access road. So there's going to be a combined heat and power here and a substation here. The principle of that has been discussed and agreed with the council sustainability officer, and there is a condition attached, not condition number 19 on page 47. To secure the details of that energy centre. Okay, I just want to mention these two plans, particularly the left-hand one, because they are referred to on pages 29 and 30 of the committee report. So what these plans demonstrate are the closest window of the centre of the closest window of the front part of the building to the boundaries of the nearest properties. So that from this area here to the boundary, the front boundary between 393 Ashford Road and the nursery and Kingston Road, 264 and Kingston Road, is 33 metres. The distance here to the end of the single storey extension to the nursery is 28 metres, and this distance here to the boundary between numbers 391 and 393 Ashford Road is 45 metres. And the right hand plan shows similar distances. This one here is 36 metres to the more within the boundary between the property, the end property in Ashford Road and Kingston Road. 46 metres to the rear side boundary of the property in Kingston Road, and over 60 metres to the rear boundary of numbers 391 Ashford Road. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, thank you for that. Please could Martin Shortland come forward to speak against the application, and you're reminded that you're only able to speak for 3 minutes, and I'll prompt you when there are 30 seconds remaining.
Right button, yeah?
Yes.
Yep.
I represent the voice of nearly 500 residents. We trust the committee to scrutinise the facts, identify the flaws, and agree this application unfit for approval. It does not adhere to national or local planning policy, is ill-conceived, rushed, poorly researched and delivered using costly consultants with no regard for accuracy. The council have ignored their own statement of community involvement and parking guidelines, withheld pertinent information and stated there is no obligation on the council to justify its decision, disregarding transparency and the democratic process. Local residents have not been properly consulted and justified concerns have been dismissed as irrelevant. Compelling evidence to support a successful judicial review and Homes England complaint. This application creates serious safeguarding issues, stating offenders, people with temptations, and those dealing with substance abuse will reside, yet site the hostel opposite a public park, nursery and close to a school, locations where children are in abundance, so their safety is in your hands. An unsuitable location decided by desktop review, not validated and close to existing hostels. Alternate locations being dismissed without factual justification. Adjacent to a dangerous traffic junction with no pedestrian crossings, an accident black spot used by thousands of HGVs and cars where speeding is routine. It's a hazardous location. No provision for pedestrian crossings or traffic control to ensure safe access for all hostel residents and visitors. Metres from the River Ash, neighbouring the noisy, rancid refuse depot and a fire station. Limited bus access, remote from vital local amenities and appropriate public transport. Denied access to cars, hostel residents will be isolated, suffering relentless disruption, unsuitable for rehabilitation, creating distress and antisocial behaviour. Would you want to live there? Four stories high with a pitched roof, overbearing, providing an unwelcome vantage point and unsympathetic to the local character. A substantial overdevelopment, radically larger than the previous building. Precedents will be set, allowing developers to build at a similar height, maligning our communities forever. Hostel visitors must park off-site, aggravating local parking problems, jeopardising pedestrian and cyclist safety.
30 seconds.
As landowner, developer and planning authority, this application must be beyond reproach, subject to the same exacting standards enforced by the committee on other applicants. This scheme is inappropriate, harmful to the community and residential amenity. It must be declined or deferred until a thorough public consultation has been held.
Mr. Spinks, any points you want to clarify as a result of the comments made?
Nothing to add, thank you, Shim.
And Mrs. Foster, have anything to add?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Just to confirm that in terms of the consultation process, that the local planning authority, the local authority has complied with the Town and Country Planning Development Management Procedure England Audit 2015, as they must do. Thank you.
Not to our own community guidelines.
You've finished your bit now, sir.
Yeah, fair enough. And
now, please could you leave, because someone else will want to take your place.
Certainly.
Could Dean Anderson please come forward to speak for the application? And you're reminded you're only able to speak for 3 minutes as well, and I'll prompt you when there are 30 seconds remaining.
Chair, members of the Planning Committee. In 2018, the Homelessness Reduction Act was introduced, which placed additional statutory duties on councils to prevent and relieve homelessness. The Rough Sleeping Strategy sets out an ambitious target to half rough sleeping by 2022 and eliminate by 2027. Spelthorne's need for a hostel was presented to members in July 2018 and was supported unanimously. The council's housing service currently has a case load of 290 households. Approximately 88 single people, a number of whom are vulnerable to complex needs. Spelthorne is partnering on this proposal with the Salvation Army, industry experts in delivering successful care, counselling and rehabilitation in similar schemes across the country. They have informed the size, design, services, location and parking needs. The proposals are not classified as residential or affordable housing. Similarly, they are not an HMO, nor is this a residential institution use. It is certainly not a bail hostel, night shelter, or halfway house. This is a sewer generous use, a use outside the use class. This ensures that the control over the change of use of the building, and there will be no permitted development rights. The use and details of this application are effectively restricted to what you see before you tonight. It is important that the location of this development is a non-central location to aim focus on rehabilitation, counselling and care. The council has fully complied with its statutory obligations and has sent out neighbour notification letters to houses within close proximity to the site. The development has been advertised in the local newspaper, social media, through a dedicated link on the council's planning webpage. The council has also attended a residents group meeting on the 23rd of July. The council has gone beyond its normal requirements in terms of consultation. A significant number of the objections are multiple letters from 22 addresses. A number of the points raised are simply not planning related. There's also been some support, including on social media, recognising the importance and need for this development. I understand the passion of some of these objections, and in many cases, their purpose in seeking to derail this proposal. However, the site does not adjoin residential properties and is orientated to limit overlooking and will not result in the material loss of privacy. Highways and access have been demonstrated acceptable, and car parking is specifically advised and informed by the Salvation Army, as there are no relevant parking standards. Matters such as the effect of developments on house prices, the cost of the proposal, and whether or not the money can be spent on other services are simply not planning matters. What is the duty of care we have, both in planning terms and as humans, to house and help all in society. I hope you can support your officer's recommendation for approval this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. So, Mrs. Bates, are there any points you want to clarify as a result of the comments made?
Nothing to add, thank you, Chairman.
Amen. Thank you, sir. And then Councillor Bateson, would you like to speak now as Ward Councillor on the application? And as before, you're reminded you're only able to speak for 3 minutes, and I'll prompt you when there's 30 seconds left.
Thank you, Chairman. Since being elected in May, a proposal to build a hostel at this location for the single homeless in Stone South Ward has very quickly gained prominence. As a Ward Councillor, newly elected, I was contacted by many residents who expressed deep concerns about the proposal. Perhaps even more concerning was that as the developer, the council chose to enact minimal legal consultation and not to more fully engage with residents over what was proposed. Intervention by ward councillors at the request of residents resulted in an extension of the time for raising objections, two meetings, one at Forbridge Park, the other at the Gorrard Room, with a wider range of people and local representatives. This should have been done at the outset. The requirement for a homeless complex in the borough is not disputed. Indeed, it's a requirement now, legally, for each local authority to make provision. Given this, failure to engage more fully at the outset with local residents was in my view, a missed opportunity for the council to make its case and to allay residents' fears. It's led to both concern and anxiety amongst those who will be most affected by its creation. At an early stage, the council did simply not help its case to sell the project to the local community. Quite the contrary, it fueled anger amongst residents who felt they were simply being ignored in the grand scheme of things. This comes so soon too after the case involving Stones Park. There is, in my view, a case for the council to revisit exactly how extensively in future they consult with local people. It frankly has to be better than what has gone on in this case. Setting emotion aside, and that is not a consideration for planning as residents understand, have raised with me the suitability of this location for a hostel. Their belief is that the height of the building and its proximity to local residents is out of keeping with the surrounding area. Concerns have been raised regarding road and pedestrian safety at this location. For those who know it, it is considered to be hazardous. It is also some distance from local amenities in terms of shops, etc., requiring a significant walk or a bus ride. I hope members will take due account of residents' concerns expressed this evening, and this can be, I think, demonstrated by the number of people who've turned up in the council chamber tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Yeah, Mrs. Spinks, are there any points you wish to clarify as a result of the comments made?
Thank you, Chairman. Through you, there's just one point that I want to clarify that was raised in relation to the extension of time for consultations on this application. There wasn't a formal extension of time. We did advise residents, and we put it on our planning page of our website, that we would accept representations up until the day that the application is considered. It's not a statutory requirement. We've gone beyond that. Having said that, we do that with all applications. Any application that's on this agenda, if we receive late letters of representation, then we'll take them into account, as we do with applications of delegated under delegated powers as well. Just wanted to clarify that point. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you for that. Right, the item is now with the committee. Councillor Hanahabi.
Thank you, Chairman. I move the motion to approve the application as per officer recommendations and subject to the conditions specified.
Thank you. As a seconder,
for the purpose of debate, I'll second it, Chairman.
Right, thank you, Councillor Seidel. Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Chairman. So this application is for the erection of 27 bed and 4 move-on flat hostel, associated parking and landscaping, and the applicant is Belthorne Borough Council. Since there has been so much public interest, and in particular negative, in the proposal, and we have heard from Mr. Shortland the factors upon which he and others oppose the development, if you will allow me, members, more time to summarise the findings and recommendations of the very long and comprehensive report that Officer Russ Monty has prepared, I believe this will be of benefit for all of us. Planning issues that we need to consider are hostel use, principle of development, the need for a hostel, design, height and appearance, the unit size, amenity space, impact on existing residential dwellings and traffic. Hostel use. The proposed hostel represents a type of supported accommodation, which is for people who may need support with everyday tasks to help them live in their own accommodation. People who may have multiple or complex needs, as indicated in this application, are likely to require longer term housing provision with assistance, and occupants are likely to exceed the typical period of less than 6 months in the standard homelessness shelter. The need for a hostel. The Homelessness Reduction Act 2017, introduced in 2018, placed additional new statutory duties on local authorities and councils to prevent and relieve homelessness. This included placing a statutory duty on councils to support some people who previously would not have qualified for support. At the same time, the government released a rough sleeping strategy which set ambitious targets of halving rough sleeping by 2022 and eliminating it completely by 2027. The council's housing option service currently has a caseload of 290 households, approximately 80 aged, of which are single people, including those owed a statutory rehousing duty. Homeless clients come from all different backgrounds and have varying degrees of need, and the Housing Options Service has indicated that they may include young people aged 16 to 17, older people, care leavers, physical ill health, mental ill health, learning disability, history of abuse, domestic, sexual, etc., drug and or alcohol dependency, offending history and or institutionalisation, and rough sleepers. From the existing caseload, the proposed development would provide for the council's main service provision for single homeless people, including those with multiple and complex needs, meaning those who are most vulnerable, allowing the council to better meet the needs of clients who are rejected from the limited existing supported accommodation vacancies. The applicant has indicated that the proposed hostel will be constructed by Spelthornborough Council and leased at a peppercorn rent to Salvation Army Housing Association for 15 years. Salvation Army Housing Association would then subcontract to the Salvation Army's charity arm to carry out the housing management and support services for residents. The council would receive exclusive nomination rights to vacancies, ensuring that the proposal meets the needs of the borough. Despite a number of the consultation responses which disagree with the scope of the required community services and facilities, the council's housing options service can justify, and in the opinion of the officer, can justify a requirement for a hostel within the borough to serve its existing needs. This proposal would therefore address the statutory duties placed on the council in respect of the Homeless Reduction Act and provide a purpose-built facility to address these requirements. Moving on to design, height and appearance. Members are referred to the design and access statement, which provides an explanation as to the reasons behind the design and layout of this particular development. The local character is predominantly residential, with a wide range of dwelling types ranging from 1 to 3 stories, but its immediate context is the council depot and the junction of Kingston Road and Ashford Road, and is dislocated from the residential development of both. The proposal is neither residential nor commercial, but uses design elements of both to create its own distinct identity. The height of the proposed building at 4 storeys would make it taller than the typical residential development on either Kingston Road or Ashford Road. However, the site is not set within the street scene of either Kingston or Ashford Roads and can reasonably be considered as an independent development creating its own distinct identity. On balance, the officers consider that the design, height and appearance is appropriate for this particular building in this specific location. There have been representations made stating that the design and access statement is inaccurate. Its purpose is to explain how the proposed development is a suitable response to the site and its setting. And the local planning authority has assessed the design and access statement and attributed appropriate weight in considering the proposal. The design appears to deliver a layout that will afford a high quality internal environment, and the upper stories are designed to a domestic scale, seeking to reflect the residential building scales found locally. The design of the building provides for activation and surveillance of the street and junction, and the internal layout provides for secured access, separate active education and assistance space at the northeast of the building and clustered accommodation around the communal spaces. Unit size. The bedrooms are of a good size, providing a minimum floor area of approximately 13 metres squared, well exceeding normal minimum single bedroom sizes which are required, for instance, in HMO properties. The proposal's room sizes are consistent with the requirements from Homes England, who has confirmed to Housing Options Service that compliance with the NTHS would be acceptable for this development. The proposal can therefore be reasonably considered to provide an adequate standard of living accommodation for future residents. Amenity space. Since the development is sui generis use, there is no requirement for any specific level of amenity space. However, the proposal is proposing 125 metres squared of amenity space at the rear of the building. Impact on existing residential dwellings. Policy EN1B requires that new developments achieve a satisfactory relationship to adjoining properties, avoiding significant harmful impacts in terms of loss of privacy, daylight, sunlight, or overbearing effect due to bulk proximity or outlook. The SPD also recognises that, quote, most developments will have some impact on neighbours. The aim should be to ensure that the amenity of adjoining occupiers is not significantly harmed. As Esme has already indicated in her presentation, the distances for this development exceed those recommended distances in the SPD and avoids significant harmful impacts in terms of loss of privacy, daylight, sunlight or overbearing effects. Parking. Objections were received regarding the parking provision. Members may wish to look at this during the debate. The application makes provision for 6 spaces. It should be noted that the hostel could not be put to another use without planning permission and consideration of the parking requirement for potential alternative uses. Traffic. The MPPF recognises that transport policies have an important role in facilitating sustainable development. The applicant's transport statement indicates that the proposed use of a hostel is unlikely to result in a significant intensification of the number of vehicle trips generated from the site. The County Highway Authority has reviewed the available reports and considers that there are no trends in the accident history that point towards a specific issue at the junction. It is concluded that it is likely that the proposed development would significantly that the proposed development would not significantly increase the risk of an accident occurring in this location, and they noted that only 5 minor traffic accidents and 1 serious in the past 10 years have been reported. Access. The plan is to provide a new access in order to separate the hostel and the depot for vehicles and gives consideration to the layout requirements of the hostel development. Greenbelt. The proposed new access to the site includes into the southwest corner of the greenbelt, resulting in approximately 8 meters squared of greenbelt being included in the site. In accordance with paragraph 146 of the MPPF, the inclusion of this 8 meters squared greenbelt land within the site is considered not to be an appropriate development of the greenbelt. Surrey Police. Surrey Police have been consulted. They advised that the use of a linear block enables a more intrinsically secure building type with active fronts to street and public spaces and provides a secure private back and garden space. Through this approach, the proposal would adopt a safe urban structure. In general terms, it was noted that the proposed 9 parking spaces for residents and staff could place a burden on parking within the immediate area, which could lead to frustration and conflict. Members may wish to consider that. The detailed feedback from Surrey Police. Antisocial behaviour. There is a local concern which has been expressed in representations received that the development will encourage antisocial behaviour in the locality. Whilst not a planning matter, the Salvation Army, who will be managing the property, has an extensive track record of successfully delivering similar schemes across the country. The operation of the hostel would include 24-hour on-site staff cover, with staff principally employed based on experience in working with the target client group and who receive comprehensive training on handling the complex needs of the residents. Fear of crime. The courts have held that the fear of crime is only a material consideration where the use, by its very nature, would provide a reasonable basis for concern. Surrey Police has confirmed that the proposal provides no reason for concern and the fear of crime cannot therefore reasonably be considered as a material planning consideration in respect of this particular application. Noise. The Council's Environmental Health Officer is satisfied with the noise assessment. However, a noise condition is recommended to ensure the rooms within the hostel provide an appropriate level of acoustic performance. Conditions relating to noise and vibration of the proposed plant are also recommended. Affordable housing. Representations have been received relating to affordable housing, suggesting that there are already too many flats, that these will not be affordable and they have been provided elsewhere. However, the proposed hostel is providing specialist accommodation which would assist in meeting a particular need and from a planning perspective has no impact on the borough's provision or need for affordable housing. In conclusion, the proposal has raised a range of issues which have to be weighed up in the overall consideration of the proposal. However, the balance must be determined on planning grounds. The site meets the criteria set out in the MPPF for previously developed land and is located within the defined existing residential area as shown on the proposed map. The principle of the redevelopment of the site for a new building is therefore acceptable. The Council's Housing Option Service has demonstrated that there is a need for this facility to provide for single homeless people from within the borough, and that it meets both national and local policy objectives. The design and layout is appropriate for this particular location, and as such, the application is recommended for approval by the officer. Thank you for your patience.
Okay, thank you for that very comprehensive statement, which I hope will be useful for members of the public and for residents. As councillors know, there are a number of people that we do consult on these things, which lead us to a situation where, like for county highways, they would not support us in any objections for refusing sale on highways grounds, because from their point of view, county highways say they have no objection. We've been through this for other applications, and on the in the report you'll see there's quite a number of areas where concerns have been raised by residents, but they're not planning issues, and that's what members have to be concerned with this evening, which is the planning application, planning material, planning matters related to this application. And any other members who wish to speak on this item? Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Chairman. Could the officers actually help me on one problem I'm looking at? We talked about this homeless site being for vulnerable people of elderly nature. Now, I can't see anywhere in plans where there's a provision for people with disabilities.
Yeah, there's no, I don't think it's stated anywhere saying they're elderly people.
But just to clarify, the units, some large units, and some of them are designed for accessible by disabled people.
Could I come back to you on that? You were talking one in part of the report that says about people with ill health.
For you, Chairman, that we are straying into non-planning considerations, but that doesn't mean that they're elderly people.
It's not planning consideration. I mean, the residents would have complex needs, as has been stated. But that's not a planning matter. The planning matter is the building itself. And that's what we're looking at today. And I said that there was nothing in the report about elderly people, as far as I know.
But aren't we discussing whether or not this building is fit for purpose?
Could the people in the public gallery please refrain, as I asked at the beginning, not to
Thank you, Chairman. Just by way of reminder to members of the committee, notwithstanding that you're here to determine the application with Town and Country Planning Act considerations, just by way of reminder, the building control regulations do actually provide in terms of low level access to any new building, so there wouldn't be a step up. The doors would be wide, so in essence to make easier access for wheelchair access, should that be the case. But under current building regulations, the building has to comply with those regulations. Thank you.
I hope that helps, Councillor. Councillor Nicholls.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to certainly endorse and welcome the concept of a homeless hostel in Spelthorne. Obviously it's obeying the law and all that, but over and above that, the social value is extremely high. I think we, as a council, as councillors, should recognise this consultation has fallen short. Whether we like it or not, it has caused real anger, and as such, we must learn from that for future things. I fully accept that the legalities of the consultation were observed. I have a few points that I would be concerned about. I'm very disappointed that there is nothing in here about provision of crossing routes for roads. There is at the moment almost no foot passenger traffic around this area, and we're going to create people whose probably sole means of transport is going to be on foot at quite busy junctions. I think it's personally very disappointing that there isn't some form of crossing allowed for in this plan. I noticed that Surrey and traffic and access, all they ever talk about is vehicles, they never talk about people, which I think is a disappointment. Size, design, all the rest, I wouldn't personally build it like this. It does leave me with the feeling it's actually been squeezed onto a slightly too small site. But I accept the point about it being more secure and all of that, but it doesn't strike me as a, in any sense, an elegant solution.
Okay, thank you. I don't know if Mrs. Fleet, if you can go back to the photographs, because as far as I recall from that area, there are some crossing points marked out, like on the roundabout between the airport roundabout and the other roundabout.
Through you, Chairman, if I can draw members' attention to condition 15 on page 46 of your committee reports. This is this is a condition that's been imposed by the county engineer. As you can see that he has requested a formal crossing facility with tactile paving from this area here across to this area here. That's outside the applications, that's covered by that particular condition. So I hope that relays some concern in terms of what's been raised by Councillor Nicholls. So you, Chairman, you wanted to see the photographs of the site?
Yes, please.
This is the crossing point on the Kingston Road, but the Kingston Road meets the 308. You can see there's a crossing point there. Is that the one you're referring to, Chairman?
Yes, as I say, there is a crossing point there, and as you pointed out before, the development can't be occupied until a formal pedestrian crossing facility, including tactile paving and the rest of it, to the North Fletcher Road is being constructed in accordance with the County Highway Authority's conditions. So that's in the conditions for the application. Okay, thank you. So I hope that helps, Councillor, that there is a condition about a pedestrian crossing
facility. I accept those conditions, and I still think it falls short of providing adequate pedestrian priority crossing. See, I'm getting nowhere.
Well, it says a formal pedestrian crossing facility. In other words, it's not just a bollard in the middle of the road.
But the crossing is indicated on that drawing doesn't actually cross any of the main roads.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just really to point out for the benefit of members that condition, the later part of that condition, which does say that the footway to the existing internal footway to the existing footway to the north on Ashford Road has been constructed in accordance with a plan to be submitted to and approved in writing by the local authority. So the local authority would have to approve the plan that is submitted by the applicant. That would be, again, in consultation with the highway authority in terms of the adequacy of that crossing. So that condition is sufficiently robust in terms of public safety.
In addition to that, Chairman, can I remind members of the requirement in the NPPF, the National Planning Policy Framework, paragraph 109, which relates to traffic highway matters, where development should only be refused on highway grounds if there's an unacceptable impact on highway safety or the residual cumulative impacts of the road network will be severe. So it's a very high bar that has to be jumped over to make something unacceptable on highway grounds. We've got the comments from the County Highway Authority. They've raised no objection. They're the ones we look to for the expert advice on highway matters, and they're the ones where we've taken on board their advice, and they're contained in the conditions, the one I've referred to, plus the other conditions in the committee report. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you for that. Councillor Langton.
I agree with you, Councillor Nicholls. I think that the space, that the usage of space there isn't as isn't ideal. I wondered, Noel Green Estates, are they owning the land below this diagram that's not been used currently? And if so, do we know how Noel Green Estates intend to use this land, or?
Yeah, if you switch your microphone off, Councillor.
Through you, Chairman, the adjoining lands is not subject to any applications. The only application you consider tonight is the application before you.
I just wanted to know whether Noel Green Estates owns that land.
Thank you, Chairman. In terms of the application before you, that's not relevant consideration to the planning application. The application before you is the red line boundary. It's the red line boundary, and that's what you were considering.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same with all planning applications, that you have to consider the application what's before you, not what might be going to happen with other things around.
I'd just like to finally say that if this is rejected, I presume that we will be given an alternative to decide upon.
No, you don't get given an alternative. If the motion to approve falls, then it's entirely up to the committee to then come up with something. So it's not up to anyone else to come up with something. It's up to the committee to come up with a recommendation if this motion to approve falls, and they would have to come up with something which would be meaningful in planning terms, and we would hope that issues would come up during the debate, which then, like the one you brought up, we could say and get legal advice that it's not a relevant planning matter, so therefore you couldn't refuse it on the grounds that you don't know what's going to happen to the piece of land nearby. It has to be on the relevant planning matters before us, and that means the local plan and the National Planning Policy Framework will only supplementary planning guidance, as Councillor Helen Harvey mentioned earlier. So, Councillor Sider.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I've heard what other members have said. I mean, this application itself has generated an enormous amount of public concern, and I'd just like to reiterate what was said at the very beginning, and that is this Latin term, which I'd never come across before, of sui generis, a use. And again, it doesn't fall within the specific class use of the town and country planning use classes, all of which you make members aware of at the beginning of the meeting. And specifically, is not considered to be a residential use. And as such, the council's policies that apply to residential development are not applicable to this specific development. So where does this leave us? Well, in 7.152, the applicant has indicated that the type of accommodation provided at the location will be short-term, high turnover. Rather, it will provide a stable environment for up to 2 years for vulnerable individuals and would have been nominated by the council. To me, Chairman, this means residential. But I'm prevented from pursuing this objection, because on the grounds, because the interpretation that the hostel should be classed as residential, statutory instrument 1994/724 removed hostels from the class one residential classification. And this was also stated in a circular 2005 relating to changes of use of buildings and land. Although ultimately a matter of fact and degree, the courts have made judgment on distinguishing the use of premises as a hostel. So I'm concerned that this is a four-storey building and the proximity of it being too close to Little Dreams Nursery. In fact, the building at its closest point is approximately 26 metres from the boundary of this nursery, 28 metres to the single-storey side extension, and 31 metres to the flank wall of the building. And then the SPD, Design of Residential Extensions and New Residential Developments, provides distances of 21 metres back to flank distance and 30 metres back to back. So it's here that I have met another hurdle to find a way to oppose this development, because it will be difficult to justify a loss of privacy, daylight, or an overbearing impact in terms of the policy EM1B of the core strategy and policy development plan document. Not only that, the SPD also recognises that most developments will have some impact on neighbours. So the proposal is neither residential or commercial, and as it stands on its own design, height and appearance, it can be considered to be acceptable in this location. Chairman, parking has always raised its head in any development, and this one is no exception. The County Highway Authority have raised no objections on highway matters, and the applicant, in their liaison with the Salvation Army, confirmed that there is no parking requirement for residents. Hence, the parking provision is considered acceptable given the particular circumstances of the proposal. And again, it complies with policy CC3. And with regard to traffic, the County Council have said in the report that there were X number of six accidents, in fact, reported to the police in the last 10 years. And Councillor Harvey made the point that five of these were considered slight and one involving a speeding vehicle serious. The County Council also considered that the additional traffic generation from the site would not adversely impact on the surrounding road network. Well, another hurdle, isn't it? This time from the National Planning Policy Framework, which states that development should only be prevented or refused on highway grounds if there would be an unacceptable impact on highway safety or the residual cumulative impact on the road network would be severe. So that is another policy which we have to confirm with. Now, policy SP5 of the Borough Plan relates to meeting community needs through the provision of community services and facilities. And the Homeless Residents Act of 2017 placed additional new statutory duties on local authorities to prevent and relieve homelessness. This included placing a statutory duty on councils to support some people who previously would not have qualified for support. And the councils consequently has a caseload of 290, of which 88 are single people coming from all different backgrounds. And I think it's fair to say on this that people don't ask to be homeless. There's all sorts of reasons why people are homeless. They're either from debt, they've been kicked out, or they've fallen under hard times. Chairman, there is an incursion in the Greenbelt, which Councillor Harvey mentioned, but only 8.8 metres square. And the laying out of this access road would represent an engineering operation and therefore wouldn't impact on the openness of the Greenbelt. Moving on from there, Surrey Police were consulted at length on this application, who referred to the general type of crime in the area and noted that shared accommodation could be particularly vulnerable. However, It's then acknowledged that encompassing the recommendations of Secure by Design can address this. And in this case, the layout incorporates natural surveillance, lighting, CCTV, landscaping, which will deter, or at least we hope so, criminality. And a very important point, Chairman, is that the police are satisfied by following the advice of Secure by Design, and the proposal can actively promote reductions in crime issues that may be considered likely to occur. Now, the hostel itself would be run 24 hours with on-site cover. And the operation, as it says in the report, is managed by the Salvation Army, whose representation goes before them. And I think that they do have immeasurable experience in dealing with people from all walks of life and in different circumstances. Additionally, the council works with Surrey Police and Social Care Services, and where specific incidents and individuals are identified as causing antisocial behaviour, then the Community Harm and Risk Management Body brings all agencies together to take joint action and resolve the issues. Chairman, I realise only too well the concerns of local people and these people in the gallery tonight with this application, and I have endeavoured to find a way where there might be sufficient evidence to oppose this hostel. But the site meets the criteria set out in the National Policy Planning Framework. It meets the council's options, and it's been demonstrated that there is a need for this facility to provide for single homeless people from within the borough. And it meets both national and policy objectives. It conforms to parking arrangement, the design and layout is appropriate for the location, the traffic generation is not opposed, and there will be 24 hours on site. I don't like it, Chairman, but there it is. I think we are governed by rules, regulations, which we are required to abide by. Nothing further to add, Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. I think you've been very clear on that it's, there are a lot of points, as you raised, which they comply with our local plan policies, or they comply with the National Planning Policy Framework. And a number of points raised by Mr. Shortland, that they aren't planning issues, but the planning issues are the ones that we're addressing. And I know you raised concerns with Mrs. Sminks before the application, and as it says in our planning code, members who do have concerns about planning applications should raise them with the planning officers beforehand so that they can discuss those concerns with them to establish whether or not they are material planning concerns, and whether or not a refusal could be moved on them. And that's what we expect from the planning code. And as I say, I do know you contacted the officers beforehand, and we are often in this position where we have to abide by the planning legislation, and it may not always be what we like to do or what the residents might like. But do I have any other members wishing to speak on this? Because if not, Councillor Barrett, sorry, I'm apologies for that, Councillor Barrett, because I had actually got you down to speak. But Councillor Sider, did you want an explanation on the sui generis? Or had you...
Well, I did Latin at school, Chairman, yeah. The best. All I knew at school was Magnus Baculum, which meant big stick.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't fall into any of these classes like C3, C4 or whatever that we have various things, so it has to be treated.
I think it would be beneficial if everybody in the gallery could be explained the terminology of that, because all the time I've been on the planning committee, I've never come across it.
Yeah, it has been used once before in tattoo parlours and all things like that come under it, but Mrs. Spinks.
Thank you. I certainly can, Chairman. With the planning legislation, there's lots of different use classes that are characterised in the use classes order. So we have Class A, which is mainly retail, Class B, which is business, Class C, which is sort of residential, Class D, which is leisure institutions. So, but within those classes, we have further subdivisions. So, for example, in Class A, we have Class A1, which is shops, A2, which is banks, A3, which is restaurants, A4, which is pubs, and A5, which is fast food takeaway. But there are some uses, and the same like for B and C, and there is permitted use to move from one to the other. So for example, if you've got a shop, you can go to a bank without needing planning permission under the regulations, and vice versa. There are certain uses that don't fall within any particular use class. A hostel is one, but there are lots of other uses that are uses that just are so sort of unusual or don't really relate to other uses that they're in their own use class. So hostels are one which is in the CY generous use class, which Councillor Snyder referred to, which means it's in a use class of its own, which means it, there are no rights to move from that particular use to any other use. So for example, when I mentioned that shops and A1 and A2 can go can move from each other without needing planning permission, a restaurant and an A3 can go to an A1, a shop, without needing planning permission, which we have no control over. Being in the sewage and issues is only used on its own, and there are no rights to go from this use to any other use, or from any other use to come to this use. Everything would need planning permission. There's no chance that this hostel could go to any other use without needing planning permission. The hostels were excluded from use classes order way back in 1994, and classes still are generous. There was a High Court judgment in 1985 where the presence of a number of features defined whether a hostel was whether a building used was a hostel, and it gave some sort of it gave a list of possibilities that would mean that if it shares some of those lists, you didn't have to meet all the criteria, then it was more likely to be a hostel. And some of the criteria in this judgment, the presence of shared facilities, now this one has shared facilities in terms of laundry rooms, in terms of shared meeting space downstairs, in terms of shared kitchens and sitting out areas. The use of the premises to accommodate particular categories of people, and it actually quotes in the legislation, it quotes the homeless, that's another indication. Whether the premises are supervised or serviced, well, this would be supervised, as you've already heard, 24/7. Another category is whether the residents are transient in the sense they are placed in accommodation whilst waiting accommodation elsewhere. Yes, they are. As far as I understand it from our housing option colleagues, the allocation and sort of strain onto non-planning matters, but I just really needed to clarify this point. The allocation, the individuals will be risk assessed by housing options, and if they're accepted to the hostel, there will be a licence assigned and a support plan put in place between the occupier and the management, and that would be a license agreement up to 2 years. I understand that if 2 years, more than 2 years needed, that would be long-term supportive accommodation, which would be elsewhere outside the hostel.
Thank you very much.
I hope that clarifies the matter. Thank you, Chairman.
Yeah. And the literal translation is of its own kind, but it would be sui generis enables us to then have that explanation. So, Councillor Barrett. Oh, sorry. Mrs. Spinks. Oh, Councillor Barrett, sorry, and then Mrs. Spinks. Have something later. Councillor Barrett, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. As always, I come to your meetings with an open mind. But some points have been raised which I think are fair tonight to say. As per requirement, as pointed out by Councillor Bateson, that we have to make this provision for a hostel, and as per Councillor Langton was alluding to, what else could we do with the site? I mean, this is always a difficult one. But I'm aware the government's now requiring local authorities to provide permanent sites within their boundaries for accommodating trappers and gypsies, etc. We fall into this catchment as well. If the site was not to be utilised for the White House development, it does seem a site that would be ideally situated for a transit site, I'll say. But moving on from that, all the points that Robert's picked up on, I concur with. But as always, it's difficult for us to try and refute something if it doesn't breach any planning issues. And that's why I felt I'm sitting at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Seaver.
I would like to state that we have a duty of care to provide shelter and rehabilitate homeless people in the community, and it's fundamental that we offer the homeless in Spelthorne the opportunity to be given a second chance and restart their lives. I've been reassured by the Salvation Army of the high level of care and security they will provide. Firstly, they have an extensive and successful track record of providing shelter for the homeless. The hostel will provide 24-hour on-site staff cover, and they have been comprehensively trained in a range of issues affecting the homeless. Furthermore, they stress that they will only accommodate people requiring low to medium support, and each resident will be linked to a key support worker who would meet with them daily, providing daily welfare checks. Whatever health issues the residents have, the Salvation Army would have to contact the appropriate NHS service, such as mental health or drug and alcohol services, to enable them to best help the residents. That said, I do appreciate and empathise with the concerns of the residents living in close proximity to the hostels, and indeed I question the appropriateness of the site being next to the council depot. In fact, the council's pollution control officer considers that the desk study report is missing information with respect to the neighbouring landfill, and the site requires further investigation. Furthermore, I think the site should be chosen in closer proximity to amenities and shops.
Yes, thank you for that, Councillor. And to just add to your comments about Salvation Army, I think they've been doing this particular business for about 150 years. Mrs. Spinks, did you want to then add the other bit?
I did. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Chen. It's really going back to a question raised by Councillor Dunn in relation to disabled access. I just wanted to clarify, and perhaps I didn't make that point clear on when I showed the floor plans. There is actually a lift within the building to go up to the upper floors, so I hope that might help. I know that, as Mrs. Forster said, that most of the issues are covered by building regulations, but there will be a lift provided, and there is shown to be certainly one in each cluster. There's at least one of them which will be disabled access, and shown to turn in circles. So I do hope that sort of allays your concern in respect to that matter.
Right. Okay, there's been I think we've had a good debate on this, and if any members had any issues, I'll come back to you after this, Gibson. If any members have any concerns that haven't been raised, then please do come out with them, because that way they'll know whether they are planning concerns or not, because that's what we're here for. Councillor Gibson.
I was just going to say, from the point of view, I empathise with the concerns of the locality. However, on the subject of the wider picture, 7.9 of the report mentions the 88 approximately identified single people in need. Would it not be more advantageous for the community to have these people in a secure accommodation and being helped and assisted, rather than alone in the community where they have more scope for their issues to go unchecked? I mean, sometimes we do have to look at the wider picture and issues that may affect the whole borough. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Councillor. Councillor Barrett.
Thank you, Chair. It's just something that springs to mind with recent events of where we've had fires, etc. Are we assured that there's a fire alarm system in the in the building or whether the underlying materials are all suitable. It's just something that's got to be considered.
Chairman, can I respond to that through you to Councillor Barrett's question? That would be a matter for building regulations. So I'm sure, I'm pretty sure that that would be fulfilled, but that would be their matter.
Right. Okay, so I hope members have all raised the issues that they wanted to raise. And so we've now come to the end of the debate. A lot of issues have been raised, a lot of concerns have been raised, and good points have been raised. As Councillor Sider and others have said, you have to look at the material planning aspects of these, as we do with every application. So the motion is to approve, subject to the conditions. And all those in favour of that motion, please show. That's 11. Those against? 1. And thank you very much. That means that application number 19/00815/FUL, White House, Kingston Road, DW15 SSE, seeking to provide a 31-bed Tonus Hospital for single people on the site of the former White House adjacent to Council Deckville on Kingston Road, is approved. And I now adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes.